If you want your text this morning, it will be Exodus chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and 15. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and 15. This is Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush. Now, many of you may not have known the story of the burning bush, but Moses is out feeding sheep for his father-in-law Jethro. He looks up on the side of Mount Horeb, which also goes by the name Sinai, and he looks up there and he sees a weird thing. He sees this bush on fire, but the bush is not being consumed. So he says, I must go and look at this thing. So he does. 13, verse 13. So he said, that's Moses, I will certainly be with you. I'm sorry. Then Moses said to God, I was a verse earlier. Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am have sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Now, isn't it interesting here? He said, the Lord, your God. Notice he didn't say a Lord. He didn't see there's a lot of room in here for speculation, or you just put a name in there that you would like. Then he says, the God of Abraham. One. The God of Isaac, one. The God of Jacob. This is my name forever. This word here, if you notice, topic is behold Yahweh. In the Hebrew language, there's no vowels. So, YHWH is what we come to call Yahweh. From that rendition, the word Jehovah came. Because that word was so holy, it was barely spoken. Listen to this, it was barely spoken. When it was spoken by a priest, it was spoken in a whisper. Because it was so holy. And the word Yahweh comes from four Hebrew letters. Yed, Yay, Vav, Hey. That's what he told Moses, I am. So holy. The high priest would only now pronounce it as a whisper. And you think of what we see now in the United States of America, how the name of God is used. You even hear people say, Lordy, Lordy. Much less some of the words you know people say when they use the name of God. So holy. The priest offered it as a whisper. And I want you to do something. Yahweh. I want you to breathe in on Yah and out on way. Here's what it sounds like.
Yahweh. Yahweh. Yahweh.
Think about it. Breath. Without breath, we have no physical life. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Isn't it interesting that the Lord is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And what he made right here, formed man into the dust, body, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, spirit, and man became a living soul. God's a Trinity, and he said, "Let us create man in his own image," and God created you as also a triune being, body, soul, spirit. Very interesting. But this is where this message really, really spoke to my heart. This is why I asked my grandchildren to come today and my children. Yad, that's the first letter in the four letters. Yad, hey, vav, hey. Yad in Hebrew was anciently portrayed and is literally means a hand. The first letter in the holy, sacred name of our God, Yahweh, means a hand. This is not just part of the hand. It's a closed hand. The closed hand denotes power and ownership. How many of you remember seeing this at the Olympics years ago? And are seeing it more and more today? It's a sign of power. Yad is masculine and is representative of the Father. It is the seminal letter of the Hebrew alphabet and cannot be divided as other Hebrew letters can. It signifies oneness. It is the smallest and most humble letter in all of the Hebrew alphabet. From it, all other Hebrew letters originate. It's symbolic of creation. It signifies the oneness of Elohim. In the beginning, God created. That word God there is translated Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God here is the word Elohim. When you see the words I am, you know what that does? That puts it in the masculine form in Hebrew. It is plural. And I believe it gives us an introduction to the Trinity based on Genesis 1:6 and based on John 1:2 and 3 and so many places in the New Testament where the Trinity is mentioned, sometimes all three in a single verse. It's holy, holy, holy. Why do we have three holies? Yay. Yad. Yad. Hand. Yay. The second letter in the name Yahweh. This letter is feminine. Ladies, this ought to perk your ears. Yes, God is a father. Jesus prays to the Father. He calls out to the Father off the cross. But the yay in Hebrew, the second letter in Yahweh, is the feminine, nurturer, and represents gentleness. And what it means is to behold or reveal. Think of this. Guys, please stay with me. It's to behold. The third letter of Yahweh, Vav, V-A-V. It's also masculine in gender. It signifies people. This couldn't be made up. Do you understand? This cannot be made up. This is a holy, sacred God. This cannot be made up. Vav. Signifies a nail. I'm sorry if I get emotional, but I'm telling you, this is emotional to me. It signifies a nail. Hand. Behold. Nail. It conveys the meaning of being nailed or bound together. When read in Hebrew, they read from right to left. Right to left. Hey, Vav, Yad. This is what you get. Behold the nail in a closed hand. When read in English the way we read, from left to right, listen what we get. Please listen to this. When we read it the way that we read in English, behold the nail. Behold the hand. Or shortened, behold the nailed hand. You got to remember something, people. This is right before the Exodus. It's from the book of Exodus. This is right before the Exodus happened. When God introduces himself to Moses, says, I am that I am. The Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's before that. This is, please listen, 1300 years. You know the first people that thought of crucifixion were? Was the Babylonians and the Assyrians. The Assyrians were the first terrorists that ever lived. They conquered the world by terror. And this is still centuries before Rome ever started to crucify anybody. What is the mathematical possibility that God would have used this language concerning crucifixion centuries before crucifixion was used by the Assyrians or Babylonians and centuries before the Romans started using crucifixion as the ultimate punishment? What is the mathematical possibility 1300 years before crucifixion had ever been thought of? God knew. God knew. Now I want to break this down. What God told Moses, Exodus 3:15, Moreover, God said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord Yahweh, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is in 3:15 if you get your Bibles open. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial to all generations. Do you know the one thing that's in heaven that's made by man? Are the scars in Jesus. We know he still got them because after he arose from the grave, what did he tell Thomas to do? This is a memorial to all generations. Then Jesus in the Gospel of John, New Testament. Zach preached on this a few months ago. Uses the word I am 7 times to tell the first century believers who he is. When Moses asked God his name, God said, my name is Yahweh. I am who I am. And Jesus takes that very name to himself. Think about this. 1300 years before Jesus was born, Yahweh tells Moses, I am. And there is also Yahweh. That will be known as behold the nailed hand. It's more than I can even imagine. All I can do is be in awe and praise him. That's all I can do. This is impossibility. I mean, there are 318 prophecies, the last one written 400 years before Jesus was born, that tell of everything there is about his life. Now, what idiot, if this wasn't true, would say, oh, by the way, this guy's going to be born of a virgin. People, the Bible's real. It's living. And the Christ of the Bible wants to live in you. He doesn't want part of you any more than he gave part of his life. He gave his life. Doug Grotus, the professor of philosophy at the University of Denver, said the resurrection of Christ is so provable. It should be taught in schools as much as 2 + 2 = 4, or that H2O equals water. I know that for a fact because Jim and I heard him speak in Atlanta a few years ago. The Jews celebrate this memorial with Passover, and they say the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Now I want you all, please, if you will, to go over to Isaiah 45, and we'll finish with this. I want, for those of you who may not know, Israel, the book of Isaiah is a microcosm of the entire Bible. Matter of fact, I wrote a paper years ago about how do we know there are 60, the final Holy Writ would be probably 66 books. Well, there's several ways that the Bible gives us. But the microcosm of Isaiah, in my mind, is the strongest. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Isaiah, that's 66. Isaiah has 66 chapters. 39 of the first chapters is you have sinned and you're under a curse and you will be judged. That's the first 39 chapters. 39 books of the Old Testament. But starting in chapters 27, there's a Redeemer coming. There's a Redeemer coming. 27 chapters about who this Redeemer would be. I want you to see something here. How long did God say His name would be a memorial for? All generations, forever. I want you to see something. You're all there? Isaiah 45. I want you to look at verse 4 first. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Verse 5. There is no God besides me. No God. That's why he's not afraid to say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right there, two times. Verse 6. There is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Verse 14, last of the verse. And there is no other, there is no other God. Verse 18. Who formed it to be inhabited? Talking about the earth. I am the Lord and there is no other. Verse 21. And there is no other God besides me. A just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Verse 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is no other. Nine times in those verses. Oh, you can say there are other gods. What Jim said today in Bible study. As you drove in this morning, said Crab Orchard Golf Course is packed. Packed. But is that club and that little white ball, what's that going to mean in eternity? Ron and I were sitting on our front porch this morning having coffee. Here comes the joggers. Trying to keep a body that's going to become dust. Trying to keep that in shape. And doing nothing about their soul or their spirit, which will last for eternity. Then I want to read, and we're going to quit here. verses 23 and 24 here in Isaiah 45. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. In other words, this is final. That to me, every knee shall bow. People, this is believers and non-believers alike. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall take an oath. It's a promise. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all be ashamed who are incensed against him. Do you know how many people can't believe in God because bad things happen? People, I want to tell you something. Bad things also happen to non-believers. Lots of them. And lots of them. But we've got someone that we can reach out to. That loves us more than you can ever possibly imagine. He loves you. He loves you. Christians celebrate forgiveness and redemption at the cross. Behold the nailed hand. Do you all realize without that nailed hand, there's no eternal life? Behold it. Embrace it. That's why church attendance is important, people, because you get to, first of all, it's commanded, and I don't even want to go there, but the other thing is, you get uplifted. You've got a God that 1,300 years, at least 600 to 700 years before crucifixion was even thought of. Behold the nailed hand. He is worthy of our worship, and he is worthy of our praise. Jim, if you don't mind, I want to sing that song again. I know you got another one. I'm sorry. Behold the Lamb of God. Yes, Behold the Lamb of God. Guys, when you come up, Lyndon, if you can put Behold the Lamb of God back up. Yeah, this will be the invitation song. People, I don't know what's stirring in your hearts, but I know this. Whatever you're going through, I promise you God will help you get through it. You just have to lean on him. Whatever it is, he loves you. He loves you. Behold the nailed hand.